The passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus are often referred to as the Paschal mystery. And while we have a reasonably accurate account of what happened from the time Jesus entered the Garden of Gethsemane until Easter morning, there are many uncertainties about why these things happened. So when we call it the Paschal mystery, the mystery refers primarily to the why. Mel Gibson's movie, The Passion of the Christ, depicted in graphic detail the brutal physical torture that Jesus probably endured from the time of his arrest in the garden to his last breath on the cross. Most applauded the movie. They said, finally, someone made a movie that truly depicted Jesus' suffering. But many scripture scholars were critical. I mean, they didn't doubt that Jesus endured this kind of torture. But they pointed out that all four Gospels intentionally do not emphasize the physical suffering of Jesus. If we look at the Gospel of John, for example, the one we just heard, we see the following. Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. The soldiers wove a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They kept coming up to him saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and striking him in the face. And regarding the crucifixion, John says only, and Pilate handed him over to them to be crucified. That's it. And the other Gospels also speak only briefly about what Jesus endured physically. Why is that? Father Ron Rollheiser, in his book, The Passion and the Cross, said it this way. He said, the evangelists don't focus on what Jesus endured physically because they want us to focus on something else, namely on what Jesus endured emotionally and morally. The passion of Jesus is, in its real depth, a moral drama, not a physical one, the suffering of a lover, not that of an athlete. He spoke about Jesus sweating blood in the garden. Most of us think that's because Jesus was afraid of being tortured and dying. Father Rollheiser disagrees. He said, when Jesus is sweating blood in the garden and begging his Father to spare him having to drink the cup, the real choice he is facing is not, will I let myself die or will I invoke divine power and save my life? Rather, his choice is, how will I die? Will I die angry, bitter, and unforgiving? Or will I die with a warm, forgiving heart? You might say that in the garden, Jesus died before he died. In the garden, he died to fear and hatred. He chose love in the face of hatred, forgiveness in the face of injustice, gentleness in the face of pain. And so when Pilate said to him, do you know that I have the power over you, power to take your life or to save it? Jesus was able to say quite honestly, you have no power over me whatsoever. Nobody takes my life. I give it over freely. Each of us faces situations in our lives where we can choose to act out of anger, revenge, or even hatred. Giving in to these emotions can make us feel safe. In a way, they can protect our sense of who we are. We can blame someone else for our conflicts or problems. Remember those confusing words of Jesus. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will save it. In the garden, Jesus lived these words. In choosing to love, he put hatred to death. In choosing forgiveness, he put vengeance to death. In choosing to hand over his life, he saved his life. And not only his life, he saved our lives. We can choose to do the same when we're confronted with challenges in our lives. We can choose love and forgiveness rather than acting out of anger and assigning blame. We can save our lives rather than losing them. The saving power of the cross is one of the cornerstones of our faith. We say, Christ died for our sins. We are saved by his blood. By his stripes we were healed. the Lamb of God takes away the sins of the world. How can we understand this? How can the death of Jesus 2,000 years ago save us today? I don't think there's a theologian who has ever lived who could adequately explain how Jesus' death can somehow wash away or atone for our sins. And yet we, as Christians who have faith, have an innate sense of what those words mean. We believe that in some way Jesus separated us from our sins. He took the sins to himself and continued to love us unconditionally. I think we grasp this more with our hearts than with our heads. These words give us great comfort as we confront our human frailties each day. Scripture scholar C.H. Dodd said that the saving action of Jesus on the cross was more than a human event. He said God was in it. He said that God's creative purpose is always at work in the world, but we humans get in the way. We resist the very power that God can work in the world through us. But if we could become, and these are his words, if we could become entirely non-resistant to God, perfectly transparent to God's design, then from that point, the creative purpose would work with unprecedented power. And this is exactly what Jesus did on the cross. He became entirely non-resistant to the will of the Father. If we could do the same, if we could become completely open to the will of the Father, then the creative power of God could work in us, transforming us into instruments of love, peace, and forgiveness, instruments of healing for the world. Although we believe that Jesus' death on the cross takes away our sins, we'll never fully understand what that means or how it was accomplished. It will always remain, in part, a mystery. But there are some things that we can say. Throughout much of the history of Christianity, there's been a common misunderstanding that Jesus' death on the cross paid off a debt to God, that God was so angry for the sinfulness of human beings that he had to take it out on someone. Humanity had to pay. But it couldn't be just any human. So the eternal Christ became the second person of the Holy Trinity, became Jesus, became human. And now God could kill him and then God would be appeased. This is as ridiculous as it sounds. And yet many still believe this. Jesus took away our sins by transforming it, by taking it inside himself and not giving it back. As Father Rollheiser said, this is why the Passion was more about emotional and moral suffering than it was about ropes and whips and nails. Jesus took the hatred of the world into his very being, transformed it, and gave back love. He took anger and gave out graciousness. He took in envy and gave back blessing. He took in bitterness and gave back warmth. He took in pettiness and gave back compassion. He took in chaos and gave back peace. He took in sin and gave back forgiveness. And we are not asked to simply admire Jesus for this. We're asked to imitate him. And we do this whenever we take in hatred and anger and envy and pettiness and bitterness, and we hold them and transform them and eventually give them back as love, graciousness, blessing, compassion, warmth, and forgiveness. This is what is meant by losing our lives so that we might find them. Whenever we do this, the Lamb of God is still taking away the sins of the world. In the end, Jesus said, "It is finished." These were not words of defeat or despair. Jesus had finished the race, and Jesus had won. His triumph left him in blood and tears. He was helpless and unspeakably lonely. But no one but he understood this, as a victory. That's why Paul talks about the scandal of the cross, because no one else understood this. No one else understood what really happened at Calvary. As Jesus' body hung on the cross, and as he breathed his last, forgiving those who were murdering him, only he understood the great victory, the great act of love that he had accomplished.